Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of our program live on a Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow morning in Brookline, Massachusetts, the United States Open begins. And usually the conversation from the competitors has to do with how ridiculously high the rough is, how fast the greens are running, how unfair the USGA has set up the course. That may be going on, but I'm not listening to that because all the noise from golf the last few weeks has been about the LIV Tour versus the PGA Tour. And our next guest has talked about that so often. And we won't hold him to only that because we rarely get a chance to talk to Michael Collins now that he has become a legitimate Hollywood movie star. I see him everywhere. He's on the Manning cast. He's got his own sitcom coming out, but he's made time for us this afternoon. Michael, what's going on in your life? How are you?
Wait, what's the sitcom I got coming out? You know something I don't know?
I do know. So, yeah, I'll let you know.
Back on me, dude.
I'll let you know when we cut the deal. Just so you sit tight. Don't worry, I'm representing you.
All right, cool. Hey, you're getting your commission. If it's anything what that LIV Golf Tour is handing out, me and you gonna be good to go.
Hey, so let me ask the obvious question about that because it's inescapable, and I know it will stop tomorrow morning. But just watching this from your perch, and you know all these guys, what's it been like trying to figure that thing out?
Challenging to say the least, because there are two definite camps. This has definitely turned into something that is become very hard to just be down the middle on. It's been very hard to just go, here's the tour side and here's LIV Golf side and here's kind of where both of them are. Because if you try and play down the middle, someone's going to say you're picking a side, regardless of what happens over there. And, you know, especially we saw that with Brooks Koepka in his press conference. He's like, hey, man, we're at the U.S. Open. This is a USGA event. It's Brookline Country Club. It's a historic spot. And the only thing people want to talk about is, are you going? Do you have a number? What are you going to do in the future? Are you going to go take the money? Like, where are you at? Because your brother's over there. So inside the ropes, between players and caddies, there's no venom. There's no animosity. I mean, these guys who have known each other for a long time and played golf against each other for a long time, one of the guys that I talked about, I said, man, how does it feel when you see, like, Phil and the other LIV guys walking around? And he goes, I don't care. They're not going to help me win this week. So I understand why some of them went. One player said, you know, I really don't have an opinion on why, whether it was good or bad. Every guy makes his own decision. The only thing I can say is it makes me sad. And he was saying it made him sad that there's this fracture between the PGA Tour and this LIV Golf Tour now that has happened. And surprisingly enough, the guy who runs the USGA came out today and no one saw this coming and said, oh yeah, we raised our purse to $17.5 million and the winner's getting $3.15. What? $3.15? Where did that come? You just found $5 million bucks to throw in here. Here you go. Okay, let's do it.
Well, that comes from all those poor souls who send in their $15 so they can get the USGA decal to put on their car. I suppose the allegations about blood money and all this but guys have been making money from that part of the world for a long time, have they not?
This is the irony is you know, this is what I keep trying to tell people. Look, you're throwing stones in a glass house, right? Like, you got people on other networks that are talking about how horrific it is, and it's blood money and this and that. And it's like, hey, man, you might be working for a spot that took some blood money, too. So, again, you're throwing rocks in a glass house when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it's very easy, I think, because these guys are individuals. So you look at a guy like Phil Mickelson and you go, there's one guy. It's not like you're going after a team logo and there's 52 dudes on a team or something. There's one guy and he's his own team, so we can go after him. And that part of it's easy when it comes down to it. And, you know, it's just a difficult thing. And those guys that are over there on that tour, you know, they kind of feel like they're trying desperately to defend their decision and why they're going over there. But for most people, if you've already made up your mind that if you're going over there and you're saying it's blood money and it's and you look at it as a bad thing and it's immoral and whatnot, there's nothing that any player is going to be able to say that's going to change your mind. You already choose your camp and stuff. And so that's the part that's difficult, is the outside the rope stuff.
Michael Collins with us. Let's get to the actual tournament, because this isn't just the local muni. We're talking about the U.S. Open,
a historic golf course.
Yeah,
it's historic. Literally, the person who is the most responsible for the explosion of golf in the United States of America, his house is right across the street from 17. Francis, we met. And if you see, you'll see guys this week that have the TaylorMade golf bag, and on that golf bag is numbered, there's a number 246. And because that's the address, that's the house number of Francis we met, who beat the two greatest golfers in the world. And when I say it was the greatest upset of all time in sports, it is still the greatest upset in all of sports that he was able to win the United States Open just over 100 years ago.
Not long ago. No Tiger, which usually sucks some of the oxygen out of the air at a major, and for good reason. What's it look like,
right,
when they get out there tomorrow?
I tell you what, even though Tiger's not here, there's the same amount of oxygen. I mean, it would be even better if Tiger was here, but I will say this. I'm glad Tiger's not here. I'm glad that he is taking this major off to prepare for the Open Championship at St. Andrews, which will be the 150th playing. This is the 122nd playing of the U.S. Open here at Brookline. This town, Boston, is filled with golf and sports fanatics. There were 35,000 fans here on Monday. Monday. You know what they're playing for on Monday? Nothing. But that's how starved. The fact that this town doesn't have a regular PGA Tour stop, I think also then adds to the mystique and the wonder of a major championship being here. And it's why there have been so many fans. And they are coming out in droves.
And by the way, how many touring professionals have hit you up for tickets for tomorrow night's game? NBA game, I should say.
See, this is the problem. I know this is the problem when you know, when other people know you're friends with a player on one of the teams, then they just, hey man, why don't you send a text message to you? No, I'm not doing that. And the thing is, Boston, this is some of the worst traffic in the country. Whoever designed these roads thought the British were still coming back.
These are the worst designed roads.
I mean, I understand that you laid the city out in a grid to confuse the British if they got here.
Yeah.
But, like, once cars were invented, I'm pretty sure the British aren't coming. We're good. Why did you do that?
You might check the North Church out tonight. There might be a guy galloping past telling everyone what's going on. So who's going to win?
Wait, the basketball game the golf tournament?
I'll leave that to the know-it-all king of all media. I want to know who's going to win the golf tournament.
So I will say this, though. So there's a nightmare scenario for the USGA and the U.S. Open, and it's this. Imagine if the final group, the last pair, was Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau,
wow,
and the second to last group was Rory and JT. Then no one's going to talk about USGA and the U.S. Open. It'll be LIV versus PGA Tour. And if one of those Liv guys wins this week, that's all everybody's going to talk about. But I'm not picking any of those guys to win. None of those four. I love a guy, Sam Burns. I think he's been on a great run. He's already won earlier this year, and he's won multiple times coming into this season. And since that win, a lot of times when a guy wins a tournament, you see him fall off a little bit. Sam hasn't fallen off. He hasn't missed a cut since his last win, and he's been playing steady, consistent. Steady, consistent on this golf course will get you a trophy. And so I got Sam Burns to win his first major championship here at Brookline.
Michael Collins, such a pleasure. Michael, it's great to see you. Come back. We know you got a busy schedule, but we always enjoy it.
Well, apparently my schedule's getting busier because you got me hooked up with this new sitcom that I'm going to do. And you're producing, man.
When I tell you who we have signed to play you, you will die. So just
wait, I got to play me. I met Denzel, but he already said no.
Now, we want you there. We just don't want you acting.
Fair enough.
Michael, thank you. Michael Collins joining us from Brookline, which is a pretty Tony neighborhood right across the river in Boston. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. AC is in New Jersey. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Let's talk about a crackhead, Bama Nick. Nick Hallenberg. This guy is an attention-seeking casino loser. This guy, like, hashtag America's Georgia. Well, hashtag my sledgehammer is waiting for you, you idiot. This guy kisses up to everybody. That includes Jim from Tuscaloosa. No one cares about you. And someone wants to run his tweet. Don't even bother running this idiot's tweet. No one cares about you. You're just a social media sweetheart, just like Larry in Missouri and the other lady, Pamela J. Adams, that I don't give a damn about. So guess what, Bama Nick? No one cares about your stupid tweet. And no one cares about Jim from Tuscaloosa hugging the spotlight, going after Legend. I bet you Legend's going to smash him so hard that when I take a sledgehammer, I'm going to finish up Legend at the same time. That's right. I'm calling all of you up. If anyone, I'm going to repeat it one more time so I make it clear. If anyone goes after my background cheerleaders, you and I, we're going to have a major problem. Your weakness, you find out.
Yeah, the guy went after Larry from Missouri, who's just a tweeter. I mean, the guy doesn't even call anymore. That was serious stuff. Let's see if JK has anything to say. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, man, the only Larry that's important on this show is Larry from Shelby. Don't you ever get it wrong, and don't let nobody else get it wrong. Hey, Paul, let me talk about this golf situation. I'm having an issue with reporters and sportscasters and all these people with like they have a problem with these guys leaving, going over to the Live Tour or whatever. What I want to know is, Paul, who made them counselor for these golfers? If somebody offered you $100 million to do your show in Egypt, guess what? Paul is in Egypt. So I don't understand the outrage, because these guys are looking out for their families, their future, and to hell with the golf in America if they're going to be making money that's going to secure them for the rest of their lives. So what that the media has a problem with it? I don't have a problem with it. You think that's fair that the media is getting on these guys like that just because they want to leave and make more money?
No, and by the way, I am not going to enter into a global political debate, but the president of the United States is about to go to Saudi Arabia, And hey, I'm sure he will say all the things that that give him political cover for the regime there. But the United States and that country have been doing business for a long time.
But check this out, Paul. The media guys that
I think it's hypocritical. I mean, I don't get off. I mean, and we have some on the show. I mean, I think when you cover sports, and I know sports. I know you can't only cover sports at a time like this. But the decision is whether they want to play on that tour. The politics of it have already been hashed out.
I understand, Paul. But let me tell you where I'm going with it. The media is like, where they shouldn't go because of the political thing that happened to the reporter. But you know what, Paul? The U.S. government didn't give a damn.
Not really. They looked
over it. So you see where I'm going?
Yeah, no, I do. And yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy that was beheaded. And it's a very serious situation. But ultimately, and was wrong. But, you know, what is, do you want to draw a direct line? And yeah, I think if Mickelson had never said what he did, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It would just be another tour competing with the PGA.
Exactly. And my point is, if the U.S. government didn't have an issue or they didn't want to go after the people that did this to this reporter, why is the media going after these golfers that's just making money? That's all they're doing.
Well, yeah, they're not the only ones. I mean, a lot of people are. That's why Bob Costas talked about it being blood money. I mean, anybody in the media, you cross many, many different lines, and you have to make the best decision for yourself. And that's what these guys are doing.
Well, what time are you going to Egypt, Paul?
I haven't had that opportunity. I'm sure I'll take a high moral stand as I stuff the money in my back pocket.
I'll sign that check with a pen about 2 feet
and
tall.
By the way, if they offer me that much, you're more than welcome to jump on the plane with me. Thanks for the call. Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon, sir. Now, Paul, you've known Nick Saban for a long time, and as a media person yourself, you probably spoke with Nick probably more than anybody in the media over the last, say, 10 years or so. Have you known Nick to misspeak very often?
No, it is extremely rare for him to have a public misstatement.
Okay, so just to correct on some of your callers, Nick Saban said that Texas A&M bought that entire team. He did not say class. And everything that Nick does and says has a point behind it, whether that was an extra jab. He knew what he was saying. And as an outsider looking in with no dog in the fight, Paul, I hope it keeps up all the way through the summer. It's kind of fun to watch, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and it's debatable. I don't think he really I think he went one step farther than he really wanted to. He made a couple of mistakes in that conversation. He should have never brought Deion Sanders into it. Should have never brought Miami into it. But he was off, and you know, anyone who also knows Nick Saban knows that's exactly how he felt. He'd been saying things privately to a number of people for some time. He was very frustrated with the way things were. Let's continue. More conversation here, and David is in Atlanta. Hello, David.
Hi, Paul. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
The Texas A&M Alabama spat, I think it would be, if you go back to the old Southwest Conference days, Texas A&M used to pick fights with Texas on this very same type of question on a regular basis and complain about, oh, woe is me, and they're smearing my reputation. I think it's just a cultural issue at Texas A&M that there's always somebody that may be better or may be perceived to be better, and they take a second class approach to it. It's not just Jimbo Fisher. It goes back with A&M for a long way. If you go back and look at the old Southwest Conference, you'll see those spats on a regular basis, and they were about as nasty as this has gotten. And one other thing, I hope you get to go to Omaha and watch some of the Southeastern Conference Invitational coming up this weekend.
Well, it does begin Friday. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Dylan, who is in Arkansas. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Dave Van Horn for a second. I mean, the man, so many super regionals, so many College World Series, no national titles. What do you think he would do if he never won? I mean...
Yeah, I will say this, as somebody who has watched him and was in pain and suffering like everyone 4 years ago, he really does deserve it. He's a phenomenal coach, and you know, ultimately, if you don't win one, it doesn't mean you didn't have a great career when you retire.
Boy, I tell you what, though, it would sure put a mark on the resume.
Yeah, but I know a number of coaches. Who have been of his equal, who have not won. And it's just the thing that always, I remember Barkley one night, we were sitting at some establishment in the early morning, and I asked him about not having won a championship, and he said, yeah, it bugs me, because it does. You can't get away from it. You're treated differently in sports when you have a ring.
Absolutely, absolutely. I also want to say congratulations to Eric Musselman's signing class and Sam Pittman's football team coming up. And the entire University of Arkansas football program is looking good, finally.
It is fantastic. It's going great. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Chris Lowe, who just did an interview with Pittman, will join us in the next hour. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm going to be real quick with all this. The guy from Georgia is saying he's enjoying Alabama's tears because we lost. I just want him to remember that in June of 2020, LSU had just won the national championship like Georgia did. Alabama come back, had a 10 SEC game schedule, tore through it, won the national championship. We're not worried about y'all winning 1 year. And JK, I wish somebody would pay him to go to Egypt. And AC, I think me and him ought to be the first round, the first fight in the Black Mafia thing. Y'all can
I'll put you down for that, Dwayne. Be careful, though. Senator Dial is up next. Senator?
Hello, how are you?
We're doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Thank you.
It's hot here in Alabama, and it's a great day to be inside watching Feinbaum.
Thank you very much. It sure is.
I'm not going to get into the Alabama A&M thing, even though I'm Alabama all the way. Why I called today, Paul, it's great to live in a country where you can have a TV program like you've got. That program can allow you to discuss issues and allow people to call in, and just think of the number of people who are able to express their frustration, their anger, their upset, their loyalty, their pride in their universities. And someday some psychology professor is going to write an article, and that article is going to be about how this program is, it prevented a lot of road rage, a lot of mass shooting, a lot of unset people in the drive-thru lanes, because you're not only doing a talk show, you're letting people call in, but you're also giving people the opportunity to express themselves where most people don't have another opportunity to do that. So your program, whether you realize it or not, making you some money, great entertainment, but it has a great psychological effect upon the people who listen to it and have the opportunity. So keep up the good work. I'm inside. I don't have to do outside work because it's too hot, and I'm enjoying your program. And thank you for allowing me.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure to see you, talk to you again. I hope to see you again. I'll be in Alabama soon, and we will have to get inside and talk some more. I like what you said. Kathy is in San Antonio. Hello, Kathy.
Hey, Paul. I'm the first-time caller, long-time listener.
Wonderful.
I am a Fighting Texas Aggie class of 84, and I took a little bit of dislike to David from Atlanta when he was saying that all Aggies do is stir the pot and whine. Aggies have a long-time standing of core values, leadership. We've got men and women that have gone into the military, and quite honestly, we've always been an underdog, fighting our way, picking our battles, from the time that I was in college with Tom Williams to R.C. Slocum and everybody else. We fought our way. So I don't believe that we're a bunch of whiners. I think we just wanted people to know that we don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do.
Well, Kathy, I agree with you. And one thing that I've come to appreciate in many visits to Aggie land is what you said. And I've sat outside getting ready to do our show many times where that statue is by the stadium, and people need to understand the contribution that Texas A&M has given not only to this country but to the world. I was out there a couple of years ago. A friend of mine runs the former students association, and he invited me to a luncheon, and I was stunned at just hearing things that day that I did not know about the contribution and the greatness of Texas A&M. Thank you very much. All over the world, by the way. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's talk to James in Georgia. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I was just going to ask you about what do you think about this whole Jack Del Rio situation? I really don't think he did a whole lot wrong, just stating his opinion. And I think coaches, players, commentators, they all get way too much flack for just stating an opinion. And don't get me wrong, I wish politics would stay out of sports, period, not while we watch sports.
Yeah, James, I think in trying to objectively analyze, you know, what he said, I think the problem with it's where he said it. He said it in Washington, D.C., and I think because of that, the media was going to pounce on it, you know, with much more venom than had he said that in Seattle. And I'm just throwing that out. That might not be the best example, or Atlanta or Tampa. And I give Ron Rivera credit. He jumped on it. He put it to bed. And for that organization, which has probably the most repugnant owner in football, to get out of it with as little damage, it was pretty remarkable. And I think most people will forget about it. I don't know Jack Del Rio very well. He'll survive that because he apologized with sincerity to the team, as opposed to a fake apology, which we often get.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I just think there's just keep politics out of sports.
Yeah, and by the way, but here's the problem, James. Whether a lot of times it will come to you. It hurt Ed Orgeron a couple of years ago, some things he said in the aftermath of the George Floyd death. And you just have to always be cognizant of the room where you work. The media is always going to blow stuff up, us included.
Exactly.
That just comes with the territory. And I mean, I read the Washington paper the next day, and you would have thought this guy had gone into a a place of business and threatened someone. He made a fairly stupid comment, let me put it that way. It wasn't whether you think it was stupid or not. It was stupid of him to do it because politics is always going to run you down the wrong road. I've been guilty of it myself. I've tried to give opinions on political conversation, and it will boomerang on you faster than anything that you could imagine.
Oh, I totally agree. And I hope we try to keep it out of sports. I mean, it's I hate for it. And when it first came out, I didn't know what he said, but they were making such a big deal. I looked it up, and I was like, what was the big deal? I thought he'd, I thought he'd done something a lot worse.
It's one thing if the president of the United States makes a comment about something that happens at the U.S. Capitol. It's another thing that the offensive coordinator of a lousy football team says it. Hey, thank you for the call. Neil is in North Carolina. Hello, Neil.
Hey, how are you?
I am well.
I'm going to take this out. Yeah, first time calling. I'm curious. I mean, you're big in the SEC, correct?
Matter of opinion, but I appreciate what's your question?
Well, okay. So when they started this NCAA pay the players and, you know, most of the adults are trying to figure out how am I going to pay the taxes for the kid who's 18 years old, who's never seen $1 million, $2 million. And these kids getting college educations and they're getting paid. I mean, I sat in a room because my son played at a particular SEC school. I watched a kid, somebody come to the door. I'm sitting in the room and this kid received $2,500, $2,500, $2,500 bills. And she said, don't worry, there's more coming. I saw it. And that was an alumni. I mean, why didn't news reporters like you who are in these teams' locker rooms or in these teams, you know the coaches, you know the people. I mean, I think it's the worst thing in the world, personally, because a lot of these players are not being paid. They won't go into a game if they feel, oh, I'm going to hurt myself. And you're going to have a second-string quarterback come in or a receiver. I'm not going to cross the middle. But you could have, along with Greeny, you could have made statements, things that you know about. There's a lot of teams out there. These kids are getting paid hundreds, thousands of dollars on the weekends when they travel. And SEC pays the most. Then it's ACC. I mean, these are facts. I'm just curious why the parents of a lot of these kids, they have no idea what's going on. They have no concept. You do. You have a mouth. You have a way of talking to people. I don't. I can't reach millions of people. You do. So schools, athletic directors would have had the opportunity. You would have had the opportunity to report all this, but nothing was mentioned. I'm just kind of curious why.
Well, Neil, earlier in my career, when I was a newspaper reporter, my major focus was the malfeasance of college athletics, and I was very proud of the work I did. I didn't continue to do it because it became more problematic from a litigious standpoint. Why didn't I say something 2 years ago? Because the winds of change had already occurred, and by the time this was making its way to the public consciousness, I had evolved on the opinion, I had evolved on the topic because I've spoken to a number of players and former players who really did believe it was their time to get paid. So I would not have been against it. I have embraced it. Now, that doesn't mean what you said isn't true. I know it's true. I know things like that happen. But
it's just going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Well, it's going to hurt football. It will.
Because you may very well be right.
Kids are coming in with $2 million already.
No, I understand
so, yes,
that.
And the fact that they're going to have a hard time paying the taxes because they have no concept of what they're doing.
Well,
and the parents of the less fortunate kids, they're going to have to seek these agents. These agents are making globs of money on these kids. They absolutely know.
Well, these agents are making a percentage, but all good points. But it's state law now in most states in the country. There's not much I could do about that. And what I can do right now, I appreciate your call. A lot to digest there. But we are late for a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
So let's check out Zach in Dallas. So hello, Zach.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How are you, sir?
Now, Zach, let me make sure I understand exactly who you are. Are you the Zach who was supposed to sing the national anthem?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, so before you go, for those who don't know this story, it's made all the news wires today. Zach Collier was supposed to perform at the College World Series. He is he's an Aggie alum, and you were at the Texas-Oklahoma State. Was it the women's game last week? Am I reading this correctly?
Yes, sir. Women's College World Series was the semifinal between Texas and Oklahoma State.
So I'm assuming that you sing the national anthem. Is this something you've done before?
Absolutely. I've been doing it for the last 10 years. I've sang for the Texas Rangers, Houston Astros, a bunch of Texas A&M sporting events as well.
So you were there the other day at the Texas game, and I'm going to let you finish the story. What happened?
Well, I sang the national anthem at the Texas-Oklahoma State Women's College World Series. And after singing the national anthem, I gave a Go Pokes to the OSU crowd because my family is from Oklahoma State. Shout out to Benny T. Garden. And then I gave a horns down after I gave the Go Pokes. And I handed the microphone off and walked up into the stands and watched the game. And 3 hours later, I get an email from the College World Series in Omaha, where I had been scheduled for the last month to sing the national anthem there at game 9. And they said that due to offensive gestures, I was no longer scheduled to sing at the Men's College World Series. And when I asked them what offensive gestures it was, I got a quote from the NCAA that says they had documented proof of mockery and offensive gestures given to a participating team in the Women's College World Series. And the only gesture that was made was the Go Pokes and the horns down.
So have you heard from anyone else, or is that it?
I have not received any communication from the College World Series or the NCAA. I've just kind of been navigating through some different news outlets contacting me about it.
So I ask you the obvious question. We all know what horns down means and the volatility of it. Did you give it a second thought, or is this something you've done before?
I mean, I've gave the horns down before, not after a national anthem, but I've also never sang for a game in which Texas was participating in. as far as the horns down being offensive or a mockery of what the NCAA said, I think that's ridiculous. It's part of the game. It's part of the sport. It's part of the rivalry. I'm a fighting Texas Aggie, and I throw the horns down because that's what you do when you play Texas. And, you know, I can see where the NCAA would get upset where I was rooting for, or rooting against a team while singing the national anthem. I can see why they would want me to be a neutral party, but saying that what I did was mocking the Texas women's team is ridiculous.
Well, Zach, it's too bad. You've done this many, many times, and I know you would have enjoyed doing it. Well, we're at the end of the hour. I appreciate you sharing that story with us. We did want people to hear about it. And stay in touch. We hope to follow your travels and travails in the future. Zach Collier joining us after the horns down got him ex-outed of the College World Series. No horns down with me. Chris Lowe's coming up.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.